Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Verse 24. Lord Krishna departs Hastinapur. Sa va ayam sakhi anugita sat kato savayakam sakyan Nukita Satkato Vedeshu Guheshu Cha Guya Vadibihi Gudesha Gudeshu Cha Guya Vadibihi Ya Eka Isha Jagat Atma Lilaya Ya Eka Isho Jagat Atma Lilaya Shijati Avati Ati Na Tatra Sajate Shijati Avati Ati Na Tatra Sajate Savayam Saki Anukita Satkato Vedeshu Gudheshu Chaguya Vadibi Ya Eka Isho Jagadatma Lilaya Shijati avati ati natatra jajate Savayayam zaki anukita satkato Videshu guheshu chakuya vadivi Ya eka isho jagadatma lilaya Shijati avati ati natatra sajate Savayayam saki anukita satkato Videshu guheshu chakuya vadibi Ya eka isho jagarama lilaya Shijati avati ati natatra sajate Please chant. Shijati avati ati natatra sajate Savayayam saki anigeta satkato Savayayam saki anukita satkato Videshu guheshu chaguya vadivi Sa eka isho jagadama lilaya Sujati avati ati natatra sajate Savayayam Sakyan Gita Satkato Hideshu Gaheshu. Savayayam Sakyan Gita Satkato Nideshu Gureshu Chaguya Vadivi Yaeka Yisho Jagadatma Lilaya Sujati Avati Ati Natatu Sajate. Vaishnavis. Savayayam Sakya Nikita Satkato Hideshu Guheshu Chakuya Vadivi Yaeka Isho Jagad Malilaya Shijati Avati Atina Satcha. Savayayam Sakyan Gita Satkato Videshu Gureshu Changuya Yavadibi Jati Abati Atina Tatra Sajate Saha. He, by, also, I am this, Saki, O my friend, Anugita, described, Satkata, the excellent pastimes, Vedeshu, in the Vedic literatures, Guheshu, confidentially, Cha, as also, Guyavadibi, by the confidential devotees, Ya, one who, Eka, one only, Isha, the supreme controller, Jagat, of the complete creation, Atma, super soul, Lilaya, by manifestation of pastimes. Sri Jayati creates. Avatiyati also maintains and annihilates. Na, never. Tatra, there. Sajate becomes attached to it. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Oh, dear friends, here is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, all of the Vedic literatures are glorifying the greatness of Lord Shri Krishna. Here it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam also. The Vedas are expanded by many branches and sub-branches, by great devotees and empowered incarnations of the Lord like Vyas, Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, the Kumaras, Kapila, Prahlad, Janaka, Bali, and Yamaraj. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, the confidential parts of his activities are described by the confidential devotee, Sukadeva Goswami. In the Vedanta Sutras or Upanishads, there is only a hint of the confidential parts of his pastimes. In such Vedic literatures as Upanishads, the Lord has expressively been distinguished from the mundane conception of his existence. His identity, being fully spiritual, his form, name, quality, and paraphernalia, etc., have been elaborately distinguished from matter And therefore, he is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent persons as impersonal. But factually, he is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, and he is partially representative as Paramatma or impersonal Brahman. So there are over 200 Upanishads or Vedanta Sutras. And the explanation of the Lord is often misunderstood because less intelligent people, as Prabhupada described, give their own interpretation. They can't understand because the interpretations are so great. Srila Prabhupada would chastise devotees who would challenge the certain things, like, for example, that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. They would ask Prabhupada, how could Nanda Maharaj have 900,000 cows? Does this just mean he likes cows or he's very opulent? And Prabhupada would chastise, no, he had 900,000 cows. And that the problem is that our interpretation is subject to our conditioning, subject to our limited understanding. And this understanding, it is proven to be limited in so many ways. They did a study on atheistic men, and there was an interesting unifying thread amongst all of them, is that they all had an over-dominating father, abusive father. And so consequently, they could not comprehend an all-loving father, and they became atheist. So we have to understand that our conditioning can affect our understanding. That's why we need to take complete shelter of the spiritual master, complete shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books. And we need to understand this philosophy because we need to explain it to others. Otherwise, we're only fanatics. And we can't think that just because maybe my husband or my wife is already studying and reading, I don't have to. Because ultimately, at the time of death, we have to fly our own plane. We have to be the one responsible for leaving this material world behind. It was interesting. I had a short interchange with Dwarkadisha's daughter, and it was so nice. I was giving her words of consolation after the death of her father, and she responded so philosophically and so soundly. And so it was nice that he instilled that in his children as well, a philosophical understanding. We never know who we'll have to talk to or at what time or under what circumstances. Once on a plane coming from Delhi, I sat between an Indian doctor who knew the devotees and was very favorable to Krishna consciousness. He was a life member even. He donated. And on the other side of me was a Muslim scientist. My worst enemy. But actually, the conversation with the Muslim scientist was so enlivening because he was truly interested in understanding what our philosophy is. And just by that curiosity, he's going to make advancement. It was very enlivening conversation. Once when Lord Chaitanya, first time he went to Jagannath Puri, and he saw Lord Jagannath, he started running towards Lord Jagannath. He was going to embrace him. He was so excited. But on the way, he became so overwhelmed with his ecstatic bliss, he fell to the ground unconscious. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and he observed him, and he saw, not only is this a beautiful sannyas, very young, but he is exhibiting transcendental symptoms. And so he took him home and revived him and then gave him total facility to stay in Jagannath Puri, and then he offered to mentor him. He felt he was so young, he needed mentoring. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great Brahmin philosopher, but he was an impersonalist. He was contaminated. And he brought Lord Chaitanya to his place, and he sat him down, and he gave him the Vedanta Sutras for Vedanta philosophy for 7 days, nonstop. And Lord Chaitanya just sat there. He said nothing. He didn't respond in any way. So finally, on the eighth day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me continually for 7 days, but you haven't responded. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm listening only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of sannyas. Do I not listen? Unfortunately, I cannot hear the least understanding the meaning of your presentation. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed his mind. He said, I can understand the meaning of each sutra very clearly, but your explanation has simply agitated my mind. The meaning of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra contains clear purports in themselves, but other purports you presented simply cover the meaning of the sutras like a cloud. You do not explain the direct meaning of the Brahma Sutras. Indeed, it appears that your business is to cover their real meaning. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Vedanta Sutra is a summary of all the Upanishads. Therefore, whatever direct meaning is there in the Upanishads is also recorded in the Vedanta Sutra or the Vyasa Sutra. For each sutra, the direct meaning must be accepted without interpretation. However, you simply abandon the direct meaning and proceed with your imaginative interpretation. Although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version must be taken as foremost. Vedic versions understood directly are first-class evidence. And then Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the central point of all relationships acting in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of all relationships acting in devotional service. To him is one's real occupation. And the attainment of love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. These three subject matters are described in Vedic literature. If one tries to explain the Vedic literature in a different way, he is indulging in imagination. Any interpretation of self-evident Vedic version is simply imaginary. And then he explained that this is all the fault of Sukracharya. But he said there's no fault of Sukracharya because he was simply carrying out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had to imagine some kind of interpretation and therefore he presented a kind of Vedic literature that is full of atheism. Addressing Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, please make the general populace adverse to me by imagining your own interpretation of the Vedas. Also, cover me in such a way that people will take more interest in advancing material civilization just to propagate a population bereft of spiritual knowledge. And then Lord Shiva informed the goddess Durga, the superintendent of the material world, in the age of Kali, I take the form of a Brahmana and explain the Vedas through these false scriptures in an atheistic similar to Buddhist philosophy. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very astonished. And then he asked the Lord to explain the Atmaram verse, which is, those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by eternal material desires are also attracted to the loving service of the Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the Personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. Upon hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya to give some interpretation. Some purport. And Lord Chaitanya said, first you give yours. So he gave 7 purports to the meaning. And then Lord Chaitanya gave 18. And at this point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya completely surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And then he wrote 100 verses on the glorification of Lord Chaitanya, which was an amazing feat in itself. So he did it very quickly. In the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmayi Rasamataya Manusu, Ya Praninam Pratipalam Samartam Upecha, Lilan Yancha Puvanyanti Yati Asharam, Govinda Maripusham Tamajham Majami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activities of his own pastimes, being reflected in the minds of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever-blissful, connative Ras. So the devotees are completely absorbed in the Ras of Krishna. This is their nectar, this is their bliss. And there's one example, or there's several examples throughout the scriptures in the Srimad Bhagavatam But there's the wives of the Brahmanas. It's interesting, very significant. Every morning, Krishna and Balaram would take the cows and their friends, and they'd go off to the forest in Vrindavan. But one particular morning, Krishna had a plan to benedict the wives of the Brahmanas. He woke very early. Before the boys came over and had breakfast, they'd usually come over and have breakfast with him, and Radharani and her friends were cooking. But this morning he got up very early, and he went and he rose, got the boys up and had them come out before they could even get the lunch packs, the famous lunches that their mothers made for Krishna and the boys. And they went, and on the path Krishna took them, there were no guava trees or mango trees or papaya trees. There was nothing to eat along the way. So the boys became very hungry when they arrived at the bank of the Jamuna in this forest. And the boys said to Krishna, "Oh, Krishna, you are so powerful. You can kill so many demons. But today we are much disturbed by hunger. Please arrange for something that will mitigate our hunger." So in this way, Krishna showed compassion to the wives of the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifice. And he told the boys that just now the Brahmanas are nearby performing this Angira Ras sacrifice. Now the Angira Ras sacrifice is to attain heavenly planets. And the fire in the sacrifice, and you've seen Rabindranath do sacrifices, the fire is the mouth of Vishnu. And all these different things are being offered to this fire. And he told the boys, he said, "This is a good time. You can go because the food stuff has been offered. So you can go and request this prasada for us. But be aware, these are not devotees. These are materialistic brahmanas. And they can't even chant the names of Krishna and Balaram. They're more interested in Vedic rituals." And Krishna, also being considerate of etiquette, of charity, he said, "You better utter the name of Balaram and not my name. Because charity is usually given to brahmanas, not to vaishyas or kshatriyas. But at least kshatriya is a step up from a vaishya." So Krishna told them, "Just enter Balaram's name." So the young boys, they approached the brahmanas in great humility, and they fell down straight like rods and dandavats. And when they got up, they folded their hands, and so humbly and so graciously they said, "Oh, earthly gods, kindly hear us, who are ordered by Lord Krishna and Balaram. We hope you know them both very well, and we wish you all good fortune. Krishna and Balaram are tending cows nearby, and we have accompanied them. We have come to ask for some food from you. You are all brahmanas and knowers of religious principles. And if you think that you should give us charity, then please give us some food and we shall all eat along with Krishna and Balaram. You are the most intelligent, respectful brahmanas within the human society. And you are expected to know all the principles of religious procedures." These boys are just simple brahmana, simple village boys. They're not brahmanas even. They're only vaishyas. But still they understood that any sacrifice, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, should be offered to Vishnu. They continued, "We can take your food now at the present stage of your ceremony. For now it will not be prohibited. So you can deliver us the food." The smarter brahmanas completely ignored the boys, as if they weren't even there. They were so rude to these young boys. And they remained silent. But the boys persisted. "Krishna and Balaram are waiting. They are hungry. It's time in the ceremony to take. Please. Because Krishna is hungry, please let us take this prasada." But they got no response. And Lord Chaitanya explains that even though someone may be born in the family of a brahmana, that doesn't make them a brahmana. But if somebody understands this Vedic science, then they are suitable to be a spiritual master. The boys tried their best, but at a certain point they had to give up and go back to Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna gave instruction that Sankirtan devotees can relish. And Krishna said, you should not be sorry for being refused by the brahmanas, because that is the way of begging. One who begs shouldn't think he will be successful everywhere. He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be the cause of disappointment. Then Lord Krishna asked them to go again, but this time go to the wives. They are great devotees. These ladies, who were good and chaste, became great devotees. And how did they become such great devotees? They would go to the market, like all ladies, to buy household needs, boga, and ghee, and milk. And who were they buying these things from? They're buying these things from the Vrijvasis. They are buying these things from all the devotees of Krishna from Vrindavan, who would bring their wares to the market and then talk about Krishna the whole time, because this is what Vrijvasis do. They talk about Krishna consciously. And so the boys went off to the wives, and they found them sitting in their home very beautifully with ornaments, decorating themselves, and looking very peaceful. And the boys said, dear mothers, please accept our humble obeisances and hear our statement. May we inform you, Krishna and Balaram are nearby. They have come here with their cows, and we have all come here, and we are all very hungry. Therefore, we have come here to you for some food. Please give us something to eat for Krishna and Balaram and ourselves. And the wise became stunned in ecstatic bliss. And the boys looked at each other and they thought, oh no, the brahmanas would not talk to us. Now their wives are not talking to us. But the wives were overcome with ecstatic bliss, because this was the moment they had been waiting for as a chance, an opportunity to meet Krishna and Balaram. So they came out of their trance quickly and spontaneously and anxiously. They began to gather and prepare all kinds of foodstuffs for Krishna and Balaram. This was their greatest meditation for a long time. They desired to see them. And then they started to leave. Their husbands and fathers, sons asked them not to go. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for bodily ties. And so even though their husbands tried to check them, they didn't care. They went on. But this is not in Kali Yuga. This is in Dwarpa Yuga, a different time, when women did not just take off on their own. They were usually and always under the protection and shelter of their husbands. But these wives saw a higher purpose. They saw their need to see Krishna and serve him. The brahmana wives saw Krishna, and I'll read this. It's so beautiful from the Krishna book. The brahmana's wives saw Krishna with a blackish complexion, wearing a garment that glittered like gold. He wore a nice garland of forest flowers and a peacock feather on his head. He was also painted with minerals found in Vrindavan, and he looked exactly like a dancing actor on a theatrical stage. They saw him resting one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and in his other hand he was holding a lotus flower. His ears were decorated with lilies. He wore marks of tilak, and he was smiling charmingly. With their very eyes, the wives of the brahmanas saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom they had heard so much, who was so dear to them, and whom their minds were always absorbed. Now they saw him eye to eye and face to face, and Krishna entered within their hearts through their eyes. And they embraced, and they became one, but not one in the impersonal sense, one in the sense of the desire to please Krishna. Krishna welcomed them with the following words, my dear wives of the brahmanas, you are all very fortunate and are welcome here. Please let me know what I can do for you. You're coming here to see me, neglecting all the restrictions and hindrances of relatives, fathers, brothers, and husbands, is completely befitting. One who knows this actually knows his self-interest, because rendering transcendental loving service unto me without motive or restriction is actually auspicious for the living entities. My dear wives of the Brahmins, Krishna said, you can now return to your homes. Engage yourselves in sacrificial activities and in the service of your husbands and household affairs so that your husbands will be pleased with you and the sacrifices which they have begun will be properly executed. After all, your husbands are householders, and without your help, how can they execute their prescribed duties? The wives of the Brahmanas were aghast. Dear Lord, this sort of instruction does not befit you. Your eternal promise is that you will always protect your devotees, and now you must fulfill this promise. Anyone who comes and surrenders unto you never goes back to the conditional life of material existence. We expect that you will now fulfill your promise. We have surrendered unto your lotus feet, which are covered by tulsi leaves, so we have no desire to give up your shelter of your lotus feet and return to the company of our so-called relatives, friends, and society. And what shall we do if we return home? Our husbands, brothers, fathers, sons, mothers, and friends will no longer accept us at home because we have already left them all. Therefore, we have no shelter to return to. Because, therefore, do not ask us to return home, but arrange for our stay under your lotus feet so that we can eternally live under your protection. The Supreme Personality of the Godhead replied, my dear wives of the Brahmins, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you on your return, nor will your brothers, sons, and fathers refuse to accept you, because you are my pure devotees. Not only your relatives, but all people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Krishna is situated as Supersoul in everyone's heart, so someone who becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna immediately becomes pleasing to everyone. The pure devotees of Lord Krishna are never inimical to anyone, nor can any sane person be an enemy of a pure devotee. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, Krishna said further, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me surely very soon comes to me for my eternal association. So the wives did return home, and everything was fine. As a matter of fact, the Brahmanas began to realize that their wives were more elevated than themselves, and they began to talk amongst themselves. To hell with our being born Brahmanas. To hell with our learning all the Vedic literatures. To hell with our performing great sacrifices and observing all the rules and regulations. To hell with our family. To hell with our expert service in performing the rituals exactly according to description of the scriptures. To hell with it all, for we have not developed transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the speculation of the mind, body, and senses. They actually had an opportunity to go see Krishna, but they were afraid. Kamsa would find out, and then they would fall into disfavor of Kamsa. So they were too afraid to go see Krishna. They didn't have that opportunity like their wives. But there are many examples of devotees who have only by hearing about Krishna have become very great. So I'll end here. Does anybody want to make a comment or reflection or suggestion? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for the wonderful class. So you were telling us the stories how Lord Krishna sent the cowherd boys to beg some food from the Brahmanas. Why Lord Krishna didn't give the instructions to the cowherd boys to approach the wife of the Brahmana first?
Why didn't he tell them what?
Why didn't Lord Krishna instruct the cowherd boar to approach the wife of the Brahmana first?
I think he was trying to make a point. Is that it's not through Vedic rituals, it's not through chanting mantras, and not being a perfect Brahmin is not the point. It's the love and devotion to Krishna is the point. and that we can't really attain advanced spiritual life just by following rules and regulations. Does anybody else have a comment on that? Okay.
Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.